from the Drown Rat Studios. You're listening to the Justice Speaks Up podcast, coming to you from everywhere and nowhere. Tipping the scales of justice with untold stories of American families. And now, Justice Speaks Up.
Hi, guys. Thanks for tuning in. It's Archer here with Justice Speaks Up podcast. We have not put out an episode in a while, have we? So much has been going on. We are titling this episode, Trump's Disruption, How Saudi Arabia Invaded West Texas Oil, with the assistance of former Enron executives. A brief disclosure. All facts in this podcast are a matter of public domain and are being produced for the public speculation and opinion under the producing team's civil obligation to the public good. The findings of this investigation fall under personal story rights and is copyrighted and entering the next phase of film development with our producing team. Producing team retains all the rights to this story. However, we encourage all media outlets, bloggers, podcasters, and human rights advocates to build on the foundation of this podcast and seek next level questions and answers in order to expand the knowledge into this topic and add additional clarity to the voting public. This is a good opportunity for the journalism community to work together to raise awareness for a call to action for journalist safety. Well, with that said, the production team is wrapping up development hell for the Justice Speaks Up project, and we are hoping our findings will assist Americans with making an informed decision when you cast your vote shortly on November 6th. I apologize for not publishing the podcast yesterday as promised. Late yesterday, I decided to rewrite the entire show in an effort to produce just the facts and remove any emotional commentary that the September 21st murder of my father conjured up. What can I say? Corrupt businessmen have given us all a run for our money, literally, and dragged what feels like the whole entire world through hell with them. Besides, no one should have to investigate their own father's murder. I am somewhat relieved to meet this milestone of this project, pass it off to my producers, next level investigation teams, and allow the journalism and advocacy community to build on this and seek next level journalism research into this topic. I have somehow become the heart of my story. For the sake of maintaining evidence, we have removed the names of the perpetrators of these crimes until their activities can be properly investigated. We believe this decision is in the best interest of justice for both victims and the perpetrators. Passing off this project, excuse me, I'm reading from my script because this is a lot to get on. Okay. Passing off this project, I take my personal story with me and retain the rights to it as well. However, this project began as an open source investigation, and it will end that way. There are many more answers that need to be given to the public, and I feel I respectfully yield the floor to my counterparts to take these facts and inform the public while respecting my personal story rights that is now in final development. It has been 2 years of hell, and I will advise those of you who report on this to be strong, safe, and diligent. I have become too close to this topic to investigate and report objectively any longer. It is the hope that the following findings of Dark City Media Group's corporate audit and investigation into my father's murder and attempted theft of my family assets will shed light on the confusion and counterintuitive actions of the Trump administration that we have all been experiencing and trying to make sense of. It is also the hope of this project that these findings will assist in bringing criminals to justice for impunity while not endangering any further journalists covering corruption. We will not be disclosing all of the elements of this investigation as we have turned our findings over to law enforcement, filed a complaint in a legal tribunal for relief, and as always, we'll cooperate with the discovery process and prosecution efforts. Again, Dark City Media Group cooperates with law enforcement. Again, to make my producers happy, I repeat, I own the story rights to my own copyrighted story, and this story has been turned over to my producers. Development hell is over, and you should all expect a film with the full story soon. We are hopeful that the hell endured for this project and startup will raise awareness for women's equality in business, venture capital, and entertainment. Moving forward, Dark City will only be working with the men who have supported this project for the time being until trust can be restored. We've taken a hard hit. Furthermore, until the entertainment industry reaches a balance of 50% of the films it produces be directed by women directors, we will be offering our projects solely to women directors in order to address this gap. We have an excellent slate of projects, we'll consider new scripts, and are open to first-time film directors with a minimum 15-second, well-done, short film and the chops for the business. We promote less warfare on women and a more peaceful, creative environment to conduct ethical business with properly vetted funding. At this time, the objective is to fulfill our civil duties to our fellow business community, stakeholders, clients, and the general American public. As the findings of this investigation, in order to restore the rule of law and remove corruption from a high office. To be clear, we are presenting the facts that we have discovered and personal investigation experience, leaving it to your own due diligence and discernment as to whether or not organized crime has infiltrated America and cast your midterm vote accordingly. You may want to grab a cup of coffee and your favorite wine and some good olives and get comfortable. You will want to be sitting down for this one. Let us commence our story. Phase one, disruption. Trump's Drain the Swamp campaign to eliminate, quote, corruption, unquote, really was an act of disruption with what appears to be a coordinated effort with the similar tactics of Saudi Prince MBS's roundup of princes. The project has come to recognize this as the shakedown. Trump shook down fellow UN nations for tariffs while MBS shook down his relatives. Meanwhile, the tariffs issued on Iran raised the stock value of Kinder Morgan and thus the sale price of the pipeline owned by Kinder Morgan to Canada. As we move forward, remember, it's all a really good business deal. Phase two, everybody is the enemy. Sort of. Everybody is the enemy. Everybody is horrible to the U.S., including his own press. Every previous president has represented deals that are bad for America, a.k.a. I am the hero of the day. Meanwhile, Prince MBS is beginning to push women's rights while incarcerating women's rights advocates, and Trump likes everybody that he has issued tariffs to. Speaking of the bad guys, let's not forget all the horrible criminals from Mexico. Criminalizing a complete culture of people instead of respecting them as neighbors, separating families, and locking children in cages. Meanwhile, in the Capitol, it's a crime not to be served tacos, and somehow this requires taxpayers' expenditures of bodyguards. From what I can see, the Mexico Wall was an orchestrated event to create racial tension to possibly feed the public propaganda in order to underpin the concept for a race war via a toxic nationalist point of view to justify the funding of a wall in order to protect the BE4 in West Texas near my property. Taxpayers would never approve the funding for a wall, and Mexico certainly isn't going to fund a wall along a treaty line. History shows walls don't work and often lead to violence. After all, after the U.S.-Mexico Treaty, one would think Mexico losing a portion of its territory to the U.S. would be enough to maintain peace, but not in Trump's America. After all, nobody before him knew what they were doing. Most likely, maybe, who knows. Anyhow, it's not about peaceful interaction and trade with fellow nations. It's about business. It's always about the good business deal. dirty business and abusing a high office in order to push business deals through, a dark charade on American politics, voters, and the global community that the world will not forget for many decades to come, I think. If everyone is bad, all the deals are bad, then we renegotiate NATO because, you know, everyone is bad and slackers. Poor America has been going it alone, so the P5 and G7 allies, well, they're all bad too. So just take a lot of money from Saudi Arabia and make lots of money in DoD contracts, because now America has really shown the global community that they are America, and America is all good, and everybody else is really bad. The Korean leaders couldn't have decided on a peaceful treaty without him. Mexico and Canada had it all wrong in the North American trade agreement from the inception, but don't worry, it's all better now, because Trump's come to save the day. Germany has their pipeline agreement all wrong with Russia, but don't worry, he'll fix that too. Germany is bad and slackers too when it comes to defending America and producing defense weapons. Meanwhile, don't look at me looking the other way while what is happening in West Texas with a pipeline with formerly documented convicted fraudsters and that pesky little issue of the Dark City lady and her dad. Perhaps we can make that good again too, and brush it off my shoulder like a pesky furball. Or do we just let the M in the new USMCA stand for how MBS and Saudi Arabia landed oil smack dab in between Canada and Mexico? Or will it stand for when the attempts to successfully squeeze the Morrison family, a journalist and Dark City Media Group, out of their home and mineral rights like some dark, vindictive memento to mark the occasion? Yes, we are all paying attention. Am I hitting home? Stick around. We still have a few more endings to go, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, this is all reading like a cheesy novel. Can you put tariffs on cheesy novels? Okay, I will stop with the sarcasm and cheesy tariff references. Okay, seriously, let me get back on track with the point. Moving on, if all current administration is horrible and has to be replaced, aka let me use my office to get as many people into office that will look the other way while I push these deals through and conduct proper CYA measures should anything go south, such as an oil deal and hostile takeover of an unincorporated land which the U.S. has limited government over, which would interfere with the Kinder Morgan Cornutus pipeline that Saudi Arabia, Blackstone, and J.P. Morgan just dumped a total of $20 billion into. If that doesn't go through, I may lose my DoD order from Saudi Arabia. Is it all becoming clear now? All while other companies contributing to this deal create small, cancerous companies, aka proxies perhaps, in order to create an oil monopoly, ironically, on the doorstep of the Rockefeller pump station. Yes, I know my history too. As a matter of fact, I have been the local historian to the area for some time. Imagine my embarrassment not to know that a troll moved into the southern part of my backyard. What can I say? Trolls can be tricky. Why is Rockefeller important, you ask? Allow me to offer a little brief oil history for a moment. It's simple. Rockefeller made his money with oil. So much so that the U.S. Supreme Court ordered him to dissolve the companies into what eventually would become known as the Seven Sisters. This is Googleable, by the way. Over time, those companies became four major companies. Three are U.S.-owned, and one is foreign-owned, not Saudi Arabia. From our research, Saudi Arabia only owns one microscopic small area in New Jersey. How do I know all of this? Because I was maintaining research on what to do with my own mineral rights and my own business plan for sustainable development, which doesn't include criminals conducting a hostile takeover of my territory. Cue a clever cover-up. Still think that Kavanaugh is being pushed through the Supreme Court, it was just about sexual assault and innocence? Nay, my friends. This is because if the conduct taking place around the Cornutus pipeline came to light, which it has, a legal complaint would be filed, which it has, to break up the attempts to form this monopoly, and the Rockefeller case already set a well-known successful statute in U.S. law that could be referenced. Life is truly a full circle, isn't it? Still think the attempts to defame and discredit Robert Mueller was just about election interference and innocence? Again, I say, nay, nay, my friends. This was because Robert Mueller was the hero of the day way back when and was able to successfully prosecute the executives of, warning, trigger warning, Enron. I know some people are shuddering right now just at the name of Enron. Again, another case that set precedent in the U.S. courts. Plus, that case made him a rock star to the defrauded. Add to the fact that since the psychotic and depraved murder of Khashoggi, nations and businesses all over the world, along with the journalism community, are running, not walking, away from Saudi Arabia, all while the world is baffled at Trump's response to such a heinous murder. Yet, the murder of a U.S. journalist's father and CEO's father in the middle of this oil deal has gone entirely ignored. Mission accomplished? Sort of. Add to the history that Kinder Morgan has with funding the Republican Party, Texas having a Republican senator who also supported Kavanaugh, and the way the facts played out in the murder of Dennis Morrison, my father and consultant. There's no way Americans would allow any Saudi Arabia funding in the middle of the U.S. at this time. Possibly not in the past either, and most certainly not in the future. Our cultures, our human rights, our basic principles are completely bipolar. Not to mention the infringement on my rights of free trade and commerce with my mineral rights and my selected energy partners. They all know who they are. We're all paying attention. This has literally brought to light the elephant in the room, which is the other missing body surrounded by a journalist right here on Trump's doorstep in America, and Texas authorities and U.S. leadership has not uttered a word about it. Sometimes silence is not bliss. All while the network associated around Dark City Media Group is shell-shocked by the nature in which the last 2 years has played out, including the silence within my various industries I belong to about my own personal assault while on assignment, how someone who likes to carve up women is still walking the street, and so much more. With so many getting away with so much, it has created a level of fear for many who worry about their careers and their company financing, while the strong stand up for human rights. What can I say? This is the reality that many of us are hoping to flush out. No one wants to invest the good years of their lives working in hell under the guise of daily fear of this or that, our families, our children, or if our property or parents will be home when we return from our locations from work. Yet, none of us are immune. Is this all starting to come together for you? America has predators running its country and taking money from people with a questionable history. They have bullied every possible professional community, multiple UN member nations, journalism community, veterans, the disabled. Is there anybody left to harass? Keep in mind, in case you are not aware, to give you the footnote version, the UN is where the world comes together to get along. When I started the Justice Speaks Up project, I attempted to offer comparative analysis of the cycle of violence for domestic violence and show how the family courts and child protective services were indeed abusive themselves and violating rule of law and international human rights of families. However, as this project evolved over the last 2 years, we have watched the abusive nature that we were attempting to shed light on in an effort to build a bridge of reform to begin to develop within our own U.S. administration. It began to evolve, and we started to see more of the domestic abuser mentality take shape and form in U.S. leadership. Little did we know, as I was sitting here pushing and thinking this was just retaliation for a human rights investigation, it was really about being backdoored for my mineral rights and family assets the whole time. It couldn't be more clear to everybody involved. It will forever haunt me that it took the loss of my son to reveal the signature of the Justice Speaks Up Project and the death of my father to have everything make sense. For this, I owe no forgiveness to anyone involved in these crimes. And please, don't try to sell me otherwise. I am not in the business of buying excuses. We all have watched as many of the leadership traits of Saudi Arabia that have caused a democratic nation such as America, often cringe, yet start to evolve in our own nation. It is no longer something that happens over there. It's taking place right here in America under the Trump administration. To borrow the recent words of U.S. New Jersey Senator Booker, quote, "We need to entirely rethink our relationship with Saudi America," unquote. I couldn't have said it better myself. America doesn't need Saudi oil, but right now, American voters need to ask how much of our democracy, civil rights, and human rights are we willing to sacrifice for the next big business deal? Have we become so deprived and desensitized that our very basic moral values have completely been sacrificed? Has money become more important? Perhaps they are available on an app, which can monitor our emotions and tell us when we are right or wrong. Has it come to that? Do we rely on technology for everything? Furthermore, I'm calling into question many of the privately owned corporations that deal with telecommunications and the possibility of whether or not there has been unethical corporate surveillance in order to gain an unfair advantage in business, while those also are also possibly affecting the safety of journalists. Furthermore, the business community needs to reevaluate whom we are doing business with and vet not only our potential business partners, but where the money is coming from. Many good businesses have turned down money. However, don't be fooled by the smoke and mirrors of just not attending this investment event in Saudi Arabia. The same investment firm that put money into the Kinder Morgan Cornutus pipeline decided not to attend, but never withdrew their money from the Kinder Morgan pipeline. Phase three, the payday. But first, dismantle the rules and protection for the environment. I mean, these are ex-Enron executives conducting business as usual under a new name. In case you weren't aware, the ripple effect of Enron is still affecting the business community. It wasn't that long ago that several banks were still allowed to be sued from the aftershock that Enron left behind. Not to mention the history that Kinder Morgan has of being just plain bad for the planet and communities, and they are clearly not in line with the rest of the world who have all agreed to certain environmental goals. Add to that the documented fines that the US EPA and FBI issued to them, all documented, by the way, and public record. Clearly by now, even the banking industries cringe when they hear the name Enron. Now, you will begin to understand the Trump attack on the EPA and environmental science, climate change, and the whole withdrawal from the Paris Agreement. Luckily, French President Macron was smart enough to swoop up the U.S. environmental scientists and allow their research to flourish and provide data to meeting the goals of the Paris Agreement. Merci beaucoup, President Macron. Keep up the good fight for Mother Earth. Like many women these days, she too needs a champion. Bravo. Hopefully, this also sheds light on why Trump administration is running from every UN agreement that they can, including UNESCO, which protects journalists, which provides protection to historic areas, such as the area of West Texas where the Cornutus pipeline would go in. I have always been very forthright with my support for the UN Global Compact goals, and my personal and corporate endeavors to contribute, including my digital data storytelling advocacy, right down to my inheritance being offered for sustainable development and humanitarian work. To be clear, I would never allow the pipeline. My family and I have had long plans for geothermal energy and agriculture in the area, along with preserving the historic area. What has occurred is a crime, dear American voters. Everyone on my team, and then some, all agree. And that is a lot of people. Is the confusion starting to go away now from what you've experienced during this administration over the last 2 years? Because it has been a wicked web of bizarreness. Now, this is where board games come into play. After the shakedown of the Saudi princes, $20 billion of MBS money went to Blackstone, aka BlackRock, aka Blackstone Energy Partners, aka, for infrastructure projects, who then ironically invested $20 billion into Kinder Morgan, along with a $600 million bridge loan from JP Morgan. By the way, that is also a matter of record. Thank you, Bloomberg, you rock. 2 days after my father was dumped into a hospital unable to speak, the Kinder Morgan company, who owns the El Paso utility company, approved the Cornutus pipeline. Days after his death, billions of dollars in Department of Defense contracts would be awarded to the media mogul troll who moved into my backyard in West Texas. So, how interesting is that? And this is how Saudi Arabia invaded West Texas under the radar. It's an old-fashioned story of push the small people out rather than pay them what they're worth. However, my father would never sell, and these individuals knew I would never sell. They had my business plan for our sustainable development project. I was their competition. Furthermore, Khashoggi worked for a newspaper owned by this same gentleman. And furthermore, one of the partners is located in Europe. And in case you didn't know, there was another journalist involved with this circle of people who was also murdered days after Khashoggi. Meanwhile, Trump, using his office to deregulate parks and rec in order to allow the Cornutus pipeline for Kinder Morgan to move through Texas. The area is surrounded by national parks as well as endangered species. Kinder Morgan has a history of bad juju happening in areas where endangered species and preside. They are bad for the environment. They are bad for the sustainable development goals. They are bad for business. Based on my personal experience. All while companies that Dark City Media Group submitted our business plan All while companies that Dark City Media Group submitted our business plan to were creating smaller companies and were buying up pretty much everything. If you can just imagine a big ring of fire around my property, every fracking, drilling, oil-oriented company in West Texas, and also creating other ones for mineral rights exploration, including one that develops drill bits. Now, guess where they're getting ready to expand into shortly, according to Bloomberg? Saudi Arabia. How convenient. Literally creating this ring of fire around my family property, which has been homesteaded since the early 90s, in an effort to conduct a hostile takeover of a private property and assets. It can't be more clear. Like I said, it reads like a cheesy novel. Which, might I add, there are laws to handling the bodily remains of people. My mother's ashes have been removed, and we don't even know where she is either. Little to my knowledge, it wasn't until after my father's murder that I realized that a company that I had submitted my projects to was literally camped out just south of my backyard near the border of Mexico. Clearly, the individuals that perpetrated this, based on history, we can presume that they are proxies. Because we've done a long background check on money that influences. Apparently developing DoD contracts and most likely mining for BE4 in West Texas. What is BE4, you ask? My father referred to BE4 as the Cosmos Stone. It is a rare mineral that tolerates high heat and is very hard to destroy. It is perfect for developing lightweight aircraft, oil drill bits, space tech, telecommunications, chips for quantum computers, which are needed for expanded exploration of the other 99% of the web that the mainstream public never accesses. However, in the wrong hands, or in the hands of evil or psychotic corrupt individuals, you could literally combine BE4 with artificial intelligence and create nearly indestructible robots. My father experimented with BE4 and was able to create projects that I now don't have because they've been stolen from my family home. My father had an avionics background, and I will leave it there. These are projects that may never come to fruition now for the company and the family, as I needed my father, or at least his schematics, to complete them. How convenient. As a brief sidebar, it never fails to baffle me how there are men of certain mindset that assume that a woman is not knowledgeable. I mean, do you really think my father didn't fully educate me on what I was inheriting? I often shake this off by realizing that not all men are cruel, corrupt, or misogynist and degrade women. After all, there are plenty of successful men who consider women like me an asset, and the rest I don't pay any mind to. I suppose I adopt my father's point of view on women. He always liked to say, "It is better to have a strong, intelligent woman by your side than a broken woman under your thumb. Besides, your mother cooks my food and I sleep next to her every night." He had a good sense of humor. I figured this would be a good time to insert some lighthearted commentary. Moving on. It is not uncommon for human rights researchers, journalists, and civil society members to be ran out of their countries and forced into asylum. As we look back, it all makes sense. Force me out of my country, remove the resident of a homesteaded family territory, and it's a win-win. Homesteaded property cannot be won in a lawsuit or eminent domain. It would need to be considered abandoned. Remove my father and consultant, you get the land and mineral rights. Remove me, and you can claim my homestead is abandoned. Or, in this case, two patsies, I mean proxies, were used to float fraudulent power of attorney documents in order to orchestrate this, which would make a lot of sense why so many Texas agencies, including law enforcement, were unwilling to investigate, advocate on my father, or issue an emergency protective order. If this is where the story starts to make you cringe, don't fret. I have filed my dispute, and the property is far from abandoned, and I have asserted my rights to claim my land in the proper manner. All actions against my family property, assets, and remains of my parents have been properly disputed, and it is just a matter of time before justice will be served. With this all said and done, the veil of darkness will be lifted from this property, and it will be put to good use for creating green energy, agriculture, and fund humanitarian projects. We must trust the powers that be to do the good work that they do every day for situations like this. Not everyone is a tyrant, and you must keep the faith. Now back to our story. You may be asking yourself, what does the misery of corruption sound like? Unfortunately, I can't provide the audio evidence that led up to my father's murder, because it's now part of a legal investigation. Let me give you a sample of what it was like to beg Texas authorities for my father's life and find his body, which is still missing. Not one authority in Texas has responded to investigate this murder, attempted theft, or locating my father's body today. As a matter of fact, it was local law enforcement that were attempting to take his vehicle and our family firearm. Refused to offer law enforcement services upon request, even by neighbors. And suggested what else? Get an attorney. Get an attorney for a crime that should be investigated. This is what they do in order to get you to go into court to get a court judgment saying you have permanently lost the property and legitimize fraudulent documents. See how this works. Keep in mind the history of money influence. Keep this in mind as well as you cast your vote in Texas and for U.S. leadership. Also recall who in Texas leadership stood by Kavanaugh being appointed to a high court where any of these crimes could be disputed. In case you're wondering, yes, I did file complaints. Zero response. Yep, zero. Moving on with our story. Phase 4. Destroy the legal oversight, aka anyone that can hold you accountable for your actions. Also consider the fact that Trump's response to the ICJ and threatened the International Criminal Court and its judges. Yes, you heard me right. He threatened international judges and any companies investigating the U.S. for crime or corruption. However, this situation is a little different because you came to my house. I didn't come to yours. Big difference. I have a right to defend my property, liberty, land, and furthermore, I've declared it its own sovereign nation. Therefore, if you want any mineral rights on my property, you must contact me to discuss proper trade negotiations. Now, you may be asking yourself, why would a president threaten international judges? This is unprecedented. Here's my theory on that. Because Robert Mueller was investigating him. Rather successfully thus far, might I add, the same man who successfully prosecuted the executives of, wait for it, Enron, a.k.a. Kinder Morgan Cornutus Pipeline. Remember that Wall Street nightmare? In case you missed it, let's cover that one more time. Where did the Enron execs go? Many of them are currently with Kinder Morgan. Don't tell me how these men were allowed to go back into utilities in any way with their history of corruption, theft, fraud, and influencing the Republican Party. Now, that's not my opinion. That's fact by very solid business analyst, a hedge firm analyst, who, by the way, have all filed complaints previously. Okay? Again, we're reporting the facts, documented history. As a matter of fact, in September of 2015, Kevin Kaiser, a senior analyst with the hedge fund investment firm HedgeEye, published, quote, "Is Kinder Morgan maintaining its stock prices instead of its assets? Huh, seems like it's kind of a repetitive pattern of what happened when sanctions were issued against Iran, jacking up the price of the Kinder Morgan pipeline just before the Canadian sale went through." Just saying. Back to our story. The report called into question quite a few questionable business practices as well as the safety maintenance of its pipeline. Now, keep in mind, Kinder Morgan also has a history of selling a pipeline to Canada that later had fatalities and forced, I think it was approximately 50 people out of their home after it exploded. Many of these analysts have been basically, make a long story short, stating that they shirk the maintenance of their pipelines and then they sell them off so they don't have to go into the expense. They're basically saving overhead and then selling off their problem to somebody else. And then when the pipeline breaks, it doesn't fall on them. It's now the responsibility of new partners. Pretty clever, but I think people have all figured out what they're doing. Later, in February of 2014, shareholder John Slotaroff, pardon me, John, if I slaughtered your name, I may have, alleged that Kinder Morgan took out $3.2 billion of Kinder Morgan Energy Partners, arguing the funding needed to be invested in safety maintenance and other energy infrastructure. Kinder Morgan replied that it could choose to defend itself vigorously, quote unquote, vigorously. However, what is there to defend, I say? The track record of EPA violations, FBI investigations, documented fraud, and fines all come on the backside of the Enron nightmare. This is a track record. This is an opinion. The very same month, that same shareholder filed, he filed a lawsuit. And Barron's Magazine called out Kinder Morgan on its safety maintenance spending and quoted a notable analyst at the banking firm Jefferies. And I cite a statement from this analyst in this article. Quote, "We struggle to understand how KPM can safely operate the largest portfolio of transmission and storage assets in the industry for a fraction of its peers' expenditures," unquote. Jeffrey points out that Kinder Morgan spends just half as much on maintenance per mile of pipeline as Spectra Energy, which is another pipeline operator. Kinder Morgan issued a rebuttal to this as well, and they stated, quote, "We have consistently outperformed averages for health, environmental, and safety measures. The suggestion that we would knowingly compromise safety is simply uninformed, irresponsible, and not supported by our safety record." To this I ad lib, based on research, one, easy to say when you're in control of safety records. Two, you do realize the FBI and EPA have busted you multiple times for supplying bad documents, right? Insert new hashtag. Hashtag, round them up, Mueller. You are America's last hope for restoring balance to rule of law back into the American society and protect our environment. Dear global community, send Mueller and his team backup. He is going to need it. My gosh, talk about a double dose of migraine. This should lend clarity as to why Trump was hell-bent on discrediting Mueller and shake him off. As a matter of fact, anyone who attempts to hold Trump administration accountable is met with insults, retaliatory action, defamation of character, accusations of being a criminal, sanctions, executive orders, and anything else at his disposal to assist business deals to go through and push his personal agenda. Meanwhile, he replaced a large amount of U.S. administration who would possibly dispute the previous prosecutions and Enron and all of the FBI fines and EPA fines, anyone. It's basically a whole new group of people who can't raise their hand and have a place at the table to say, excuse me, do we remember that little part of history over there? Just saying it's this, yeah, okay, moving on. Examples of documented history of Kinder Morgan fraud, scams, and thefts. This is from a report. And I read, "The FBI determined that between 1997, Kinder Morgan systematically defrauded its customers, including the Tennessee Valley Authority. The same investigation found fraud related to Kinder Morgan Grand River Terminal in Kentucky. And in 2007, the U.S. Attorney's Office reached a $25 million settlement. In another case settled in 2007, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency fined Kinder Morgan $613,000 for violations of the U.S. Clean Air Act. In 2010, the federal government fined Kinder Morgan again $1 million for repeatedly violating the Clean Air Act in Port Manatee Terminal in Florida. The U.S. Department of Justice found that Kinder Morgan lied in permit applications." Huh. Funny, you don't like to go the right way to attain property, do you? The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency also investigated Kinder Morgan for violating the federal renewable fuels standards. Officials alleged that Kinder Morgan used invalid documents, let me repeat that again, invalid documents to fulfill their requirements for the use of renewable energy. The company signed a settlement agreement in 2012, agreeing to resolve 30,000 violations and pay a monetary penalty. We're getting ready to wrap this up. In closing, there is a lot I will forgive in business, but very little when it comes to any harm brought upon my family and associates. With that said, I hope Robert Mueller and the powers that be see you all brought to justice and permanently removed from business involving mineral rights and utility development. Strike two. There is no three strikes when it comes to this kind of stuff. It's just enough. You don't wait for it to be done again. God willing, let's all pray Robert Mueller can see each of you served with a life prison sentence so that you never are allowed to wreak havoc on business, private citizen, journalist, or the international community for your own personal and financial gain ever again. And if this seems harsh, remember, I have people on my doorstep. With the way this plays out, this is not personal opinion. This is all fact. And this was so very transparent, we all see right through it. The facts have stacked up, everything has lined up, and all the fingers are pointing to all the right people. It can't be more overwhelming. As a final thought, my production team and I have a morbid sense of curiosity. So we're all curious what type of death awaits me after reporting these facts in this podcast episode. Car bomb, random shooting, poison, dismemberment, random mugging. They share my same dark humor, and we are all taking a pool on what it will be. The winner takes all at my memorial service. Notice I didn't say funeral because we're doubtful that there will be a body to bury. Right now, the whole entire international community needs to be concerned for the well-being of journalists. It's time to end impunity against journalists for doing our job. The United Nations reported that corporate fraud costs companies approximately $1 trillion a year. What has occurred to this company? We're just a drop in the bucket. Just a drop in the bucket. This violates so many laws and ethics for business. Again, anyone with investment holdings into these companies, anybody who has any power to offer sanctions until this investigation comes to a head and we find out what is happening with journalists and the family members of journalists and businesses, it needs to happen. Now is the time. However, at this point, don't be dismayed. We are hopeful and thankful that any further harm to business associates, family, or myself will only pour more fingers to the bodies that are stacking up and lead to even more evidence that has created a long trail of who is killing journalists and humanitarians. And I mean an obscene amount of fingers. After all, the same world people have been beating up and down for the last 2 years is watching. We all get around and we're all in this together. Pardon my sarcasm, but I think I can speak on behalf of the entire business and journalism community, along with everyone else that has been defamed during this journey, that we've all had enough. We respectfully ask the global community of leaders to call for the protection of journalists and humanitarian projects, to end the hate breeding, the warmongering for profits, the violence on our community. At the end of the day, we are a hardworking community attempting to conduct our civil duties in peace. We provide the service that everyone needs to be fully informed. We're not the enemy. We're doing our job. The inflammatory aggression towards our community has discredited good, honest people and created a dangerous working environment where there used to be a sense of civility and protection for those who conduct journalism to keep the public and global community informed of the facts as we see it, along with our opinions and commentary on the facts. Freedom of speech is still alive and kicking, right? Are we no longer protected under freedom of expression? We aren't the enemy. We're here to provide a public service which also allows leaders from other countries to be provided with trusted and valued insight as to the events occurring in other countries. Undiluted journalism is necessary in order to maintain checks and measures between the public and their elected officials. That's what it was created for. Mass Communications 101, day one of journalism school. That's what I picked up. Who's with me? Like many times before, this podcast episode will not offer a closing outro to reflect a moment of silence. This time, for my father, for Khashoggi, for Victoria, and for the many journalists whose light has been snuffed out too early for their attempts to inform the public and advocate for a better society for all of your communities. Let us all pray that the global community can come together to restore a peaceful and safe environment for women, filmmakers, journalists, as well as their families, and in this nightmarish chapter, it's going to take all of us working together, and I mean everybody. It's time to ignore the smoke and mirrors, of this disruption and revisit the topic of full disclosure and the American voters and the global community to demand full disclosure of open book policy of the Trump administration and have it be brought forth before Robert Mueller as part of discovery in the current open case and subpoena him to testify, along with the several other people involved in the Cornutus pipeline. Every president has done it, and everyone who holds this office knows that opening their books is part of the job. It's been 2 years. This leadership is taking us nowhere fast. Simply put, the time is now.